Tonight we're going to be talking about a green screen. No, tonight we're going to be talking about some good words for stormy days. I had actually put together a different message for this evening. Uh-oh, what's it? Brennan's got that look like it's not working? Oh, okay. And then it rained and I got stuck inside over lunch and I said, scrap that. Let's go with stormy day theme here. So the first lesson we're going to hear this evening is from the very first book of the Bible, from Genesis in the 9th chapter. Hear now this from God's holy word. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those who came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rain appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all earth. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm for this evening is a beautiful and prayerful psalm of David from Psalm 91. Let us together pray this word of the Lord. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all ways. I invite all who are able to rise for the reading of our Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Saint Mark. Glory to you, Lord. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethesda while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke to them and said, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, They landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May those with ears to hear the good news be blessed in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to be seated. All right, some good words for stormy days, since it was kind of a nasty day, and it looks like we're in for some more of the same tomorrow and Saturday, maybe even a little bit on Sunday. We got some stormy weather ahead, and that's just part of life. And the reality is, that is also a part of the life that we live in a figurative kind of sense as well. There are physical storms that come about, and there are the figurative storms that come about. And I think anybody who's got any sort of time under their belt, whether it's a few years on Earth or several or more decades on Earth, you have probably weathered some storms in your life. You might have had illnesses or loved ones with illnesses or people that you know or yourself who battled certain sorts of emotional distress or drug problems or other addictions or job issues or family stressors. There's all kinds of different storms of life. The reality is, this is not a new thing to God. This isn't the first time God's ever seen his creation face difficulties. And believe it or not, he's got a pretty good instruction manual. If you don't own one, see me. I'll get one in your hands and you can read all about God's instruction for your life that might make things a little bit more acceptable for you. If you're looking for a quick fix, you've come to the wrong place. I know it's not a real good selling point for Christianity, but Christianity's not a quick fix. It's a way of salvation through our Lord. If you are going to treat the Bible or God or any of the lessons that God has for you as if it's some sort of pill that you can just swallow, you're probably going to find yourself being disappointed. Now, having said that, you're probably going to go through storms of life, and I do think you'd be in better shape if you knew what God had to say about some of those things. That's why I think this first reading that we have this evening from Genesis 9 really is good for us to sort of look at. This is God's story to his children about the covenant that he has made with us, sometimes known as the Noahic covenant because it involves Noah. Can you imagine your most frustrating day? Let me put it to you this way. You're having one of your most frustrating days at work or at home or wherever it may be, and you're so frustrated that you just wish you could just get a do-over, whatever that looks like. Maybe you even have these secret fantasies of, I'll just burn this whole place down. You see, you're looking at me like I'm a little strange, but you know you've had that thought before too. God's been through that. God was not real happy with the world at some point and decided that what he needed were some people that would at least try to be obedient. And that's why he chose Noah. And Noah was asked to do something that he was very obedient about, even in the face of others ridiculing him for being true to what God was asking him to do. Noah continued in his obedience. Now, Noah was not a perfect man. If you keep reading the gospel, you'll find out Noah actually had a little bit of a problem with the bottle. Did y'all know that? Noah had a little alcohol problem. Read through there. It gets fun. It gets interesting. And I'm not just talking like Noah had a little bit of a problem once in a while with the bottle. We're talking like full-blown Noah got naked because he was drunk. So, not a perfect man, but an obedient man. And God, frustrated as he might be with the whole world, decided that that was his man, that was the guy he was choosing. Why? Because he was going to be obedient. And he was. And so out of that obedience, God gives us a promise. He gives us the promise that he would never again destroy the world like that. That's probably something, if you look around the world right now, you should be going, thank you, God, because I don't know, something tells me he's probably a little worse off now than it was back then. Maybe God has grown a little bit in patience as he's aged. I don't know, just a little humor since God is kind of that circle, never ends, never begins. But we have that beautiful prayer that we prayed together today too from Psalm 91 that gives us a hint about what we can do when we find ourselves going through storms of life, when we're having stormy days or stormy weeks or stormy years, because we can't burn the place down, we can't flood it out, and we can't kill our enemies, even though that's probably what we feel like wanting to do. And sometimes it might not even be enemies. If we're honest, it could be family members that we just feel like taking them out to. But what God tells us is that whoever dwells in his house, whoever dwells in the shadow of the Most High, will rest with the Almighty. He says that God is to be our refuge, God's to be our fortress, and it's in God that we're to place our trust. That's what the psalmist tells us. And then he goes on and just keeps saying, you save me from the fowler's snare. You cover me with your feathers. Under your wings I can take refuge. Of course, if you're familiar with the song that we sing after confession of sin on Sunday, that's exactly where Eagle's Wings gets its inspiration from these verses that we prayed tonight from the psalmist. So we have this opportunity not only to bask in God's promises, but to pray God's word so that we are prepared for those storms of life, knowing that they are just a part of reality. You need to recognize this. Do you realize there cannot be a rainbow unless there's actually a rainstorm? And do you realize that it's in the storm that God always reveals salvation? It's in the midst of the storm that God most clearly reveals the salvation. That's what we see in that story from Genesis. And that's also what we heard tonight from the gospel according to Mark. This is a story that also gets told in Matthew's gospel account. And it's interesting because it's not just happening at some random time. It's happening after several thousand people have been fed. They've showed up, they've come to hear Jesus preach and teach, and a miraculous feeding takes place. And you've got to expect that some of those thousands of people have figured it out. This guy is pretty special. He must be who we really think he is, the promised Messiah. Yet at the same time, those who are closest to Jesus are the ones who have perhaps the least amount of faith in him. In fact, the scripture even tells us tonight in verse 52, it says, they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. They hadn't understood what Jesus had done for that crowd and for them when he provided the daily bread for them, when he was able to make something out of nothing, when he was able to give them exactly what they needed, exactly when they needed it. These are his disciples. These are the guys who are traveling with him on an everyday basis, and it says that their hearts were hardened. I think that's good news for us, because that means that we can learn from them. We can start to examine our lives and where we find our hearts are hardened, where we're not having faith in Jesus to be the one who pulls us through the storm. And we have an opportunity to step back from that and prayerfully approach God with that and say, help me with my faith. Help me to see you in the darkness of the storm. It's interesting because this story takes place, whether it's Mark's gospel account or Matthew's gospel account, it takes place at a very specific time of the night. And I don't think it's by accident that both gospel accounts give us that time. It says, I want to find it, I don't want to misquote it. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake. Jesus was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars. It's a very good picture for us when we're facing a storm of life. We're straining at the oars because the wind is against us. What the world is throwing out there is coming up against us. Shortly before dawn is what Mark's gospel account tells us. And that's exactly, I believe, how it's worded with Matthew as well. Shortly before dawn. And that's in the NIV. In the King James Version, it says, at the fourth watch. At the fourth watch. And that gives us a little bit of a kind of an older school understanding of the time that this is happening on the lake. The fourth watch would have been anywhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. The night was divided for the Hebrew people into four parts. It started at 6 o'clock in the evening and it went to 9. That's first watch. From 9 o'clock to midnight is second watch. From midnight to 3 a.m. is the third watch. And from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. is the fourth watch. Now, why is that significant? Think about this little cliche that we have even in our vernacular today in the year 2017. You can fill in the blank for me. It's always darkest when? Before the dawn. It's always darkest before the dawn. Having gone through the entire night, the disciples straining at the oars because the wind is against them, it's at the darkest part of that 24-hour cycle, the fourth watch, shortly before dawn. That's when they see Jesus coming to their rescue. Now, interestingly, perhaps even a little bit humorously, they don't recognize that it's Jesus. They think it's a ghost. How many times have we had God working in our lives, and instead of saying, "Thank you, God, I didn't see that coming. I didn't think you were going to act like that, because here I am praying and telling you how to do it." Because that's probably what they were doing. They were thinking, "Oh, what we need right now is some sort of somebody to save us, and it's not going to look like Jesus walking on the water." They weren't expecting that. But I think that's a clue for us. We need to be open-minded to how God is moving in our lives to save us. And not just salvation. I mean, that's a hugely important part. I'm going to assume that that's kind of taken care of since you're here. But all the sorts of needs that we have against the very daily storms of life that come our way. One of the things that maybe we should consider doing is concentrating on the "not my will, Lord, but yours be done." Because I think sometimes we try to figure it out. We try to do all the work in our prayer life, and we tell God exactly how it's supposed to turn out. And God says, "No, I got something different than that. I can walk on water. You forgot about that part. You're not thinking the way I can think." Why? Because my thoughts are not your thoughts. Scripture says that. So I think there's a wonderful lesson we can learn from this beautiful scripture that we're hearing today, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, particularly this gospel account that Mark gives us of Jesus walking out on the water to save them. They climbed into the boat. He climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. You're going to find yourself in some rough waters from time to time. You need to remember, you're not alone in those stormy times. You need to make sure that when you're praying, it's God's will that you're praying for, and that you're inviting Jesus into the boat. It may not be the thing you're expecting, but it's probably going to be a lot better for you in the long run. I pray that you receive that, and you do so in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you do, let me hear you say amen. 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 This evening, as we prepare to enter into our time of